Special edition of Fantasy Football Sunday. Huge game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns tonight. That's why we want to give you a special edition and bring in Travis Souders of HarrisFootball.com. Travis, thanks for coming on this afternoon, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We saw flashes of Joe Burrow in week one, the scamper he had for his first NFL touchdowns, but he had some passing deficiencies as expected. What should we expect in game number two for Joe Burrow?
Expectations is, I think it's hard to say. I think a lot of us who play fantasy and are relying on Burrow to, sort of drive the bus for the skill players that we need. That's why we want to watch tonight. We want to see. So I think what we saw in the first in his first outing was, he looked like a rookie, right? As a passer, certainly I think he left a lot to be desired. Certainly, there's nothing saying that he won't grow as a passer after his first game. Chargers, we think, are pretty good defense. So, I don't think anything is definitively set about Burrow. But what you mentioned it with the rushing, I think he showed that he's willing to take off, probably maybe even more than we would want to see if we're expecting him to support our receivers. Mm-hmm. But he's a runner. That's a part of his game that I think he showed right away, whether it's exactly how he wanted to do it. I don't think it was a lot of scripted or designed runs for him. It was more of him bailing off of his reads and ducking his head and going, which is, again, it's not a crime to do that as a rookie quarterback. So I'll be interested to see, does he take some time, process the field a little bit more? We probably think the Browns, after one game, it's tough to say, but probably think the Browns are maybe a little more generous matchup as a passing defense. So I would want to see that. We saw him distribute to targets, try to get everybody involved. I know Tyler Boyd investors probably were freaking out until he started getting work in the second half. He's looking for the maybe future Hall of Famer AJ Green. He was looking for him frequently. I think, we probably, that it's a 50-50 PI call on Green that, maybe this conversation is different if Joe Burrow marches down, wins the game, yep, with the touchdown pass to AJ Green. So, I think you're right. I think there's enough there for us to still be interested. Of course, he has one game, but certainly, I'd want to watch and see it.
And on that note, Travis, you're talking about skill players for the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll start with the guy you just referred to, AJ Green. Injured, hampered as of late. Now it looks like he's back. He's got a rookie quarterback he's dealing with. What should the expectation be for AJ Green, the former Georgia Bulldog, the rest of the way in 2020?
Well, if you're taking bets, it's a hard bet to say he'd stay healthy the rest of the way. I think that would be something that everybody kind of bakes into his value, right? And that was reflected with where he was drafted. But I think, if you started AJ Green in week one against the Chargers, I think you start him again in week two. I think that's pretty fair. He's got nothing on the injury report. He looked like he was involved. And so I think that doesn't change. I think he's still wide receiver one, for whatever that means in Cincinnati right now. But it's, the rest of the way, it's just tough to say because it does, doesn't it? It does hinge on what Joe Burrow can do. So, if this chemistry works, continues to develop between the two, then I think you can keep rolling AJ Green out. Now, do you want to do him as your wide receiver one or two? I would hope not. I would hope that you have maybe more reliable options just from a health standpoint. But we've seen it when he's healthy. The guy's one of the, maybe a top five receiver in the league, right? So he's somebody that you would like to see in what we think is probably a pretty winnable matchup with Cleveland here. We'd like to see him succeed there to make a decision on whether we feel really comfortable using him going forward.
Travis Souders, HarrisFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Travis Souders, and you can also follow the Harris Football guys at Harris Football. Travis, when you look at Joe Burrow's running ability, how is that going to help Joe Mixon? I got him on my roster. I want to know if he's going to have a productive fantasy season.
Will it be Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins? No, I don't think he's that level of runner, but nobody is. But, you know, certainly it doesn't hurt, right? But, you know, I think the other side of the coin is that we just saw Mixon in maybe the worst team in football last year still have a remarkable fantasy season,
exactly.
Right? Heroic.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I think the instinct that says Joe Mixon is good, therefore I'm going to play him, regardless of the matchup, that's one that I'm fine making week after week if I'm owning him. And, you know, is it disappointing in week one to see that he, you know, doesn't blow doors off, that it kind of looks like a work in progress? Sure. You know, I imagine that if he was your RB1 and you started in week one, you were probably chewing your fingernails a little bit, wanting to see things develop more. But, you know, to your question, does Burrow's running ability help Mixon? I think what we would say is, based on what we saw, I think he was running more as a backup plan in the passing game and not necessarily, you know, read option, design run types of things.
Yeah.
And that is the kind of thing that, that eases things for the running back. It's too easy to say either way, yes, it'll help him, or no, that just means now more guys are going to be in the box. I think Joe Mixon is talented enough to take advantage of a situation that improves. We don't know that it's better in Cincinnati, but we know that it would be hard to get worse than it was last year.
All right, so we've talked Bengals to this point, Travis. Let's talk some Browns. I want to know what you think about Odell Beckham. I've seen a flurry of, oh, trade him, trade him, trade him. I mean, we've seen reports. We've seen fantasy owners freak out after week one. I was the guy that had him last year. I was not going to let that snake bite me again. I was not touching him in this year's draft. Is there ever chemistry that's going to develop between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham?
I mean, that's getting inside. I'll back up a sec. Like, the things that happen on a football field are tough enough to predict anyway before we factor into what's happening in people's brains, right? Like, and I think, you know, with Beckham, undeniably, I think, I don't think there's anybody who watches him play that would say he, you know, he isn't a top 10 wide receiver talent in the league.
No question.
I would argue that's inarguable. I tend to not be so bothered by what people call, like, you know, diva antics, wide receiver antics. You know, if we're thinking of players as assets, right? But to your point, you know, who could argue that the things that come out of his mouth and maybe how he behaves, whether they're the reason behind maybe an unpredictable level of his play, I think that's hard to say. But the fact is that when you sort of watch that week one game, granted, Ravens road, that's about as tough as it gets right now. I think that's going to probably play out over the season. But granted, I mean, he wasn't getting those early looks. So for, you know, those were going Jarvis Landry's way. So I think if you're talking about chemistry with Baker Mayfield, I think Mayfield's got to improve as a passer. He had this rookie year that I think a lot of people got excited about. I think he was overdrafted in the sophomore year, and now we're sort of saying, like, well, is he going to make the same kind of mistakes? Is he, is he still going to not be as accurate? Is he still going to do, like, weird things behind the line of scrimmage where he makes throws harder for himself? And if that's the case, then certainly, I think you have to reconsider how valuable you find Beckham to be.
Mayfield threw a pick on the first drive against the Ravens last week.
Okay, so if a player makes a mistake on his first drive, does that mean that's who the guy is? Of course not, right? Like Baker Mayfield, he's still young. He has plenty of upside. He's got pedigree. He's showed that he can play. It's a risk assessment that you as an individual have to do, and it's how much you can stomach. And, you know, I think there are a ton of people just making the exact same decision that you made going into drafts, which is, I don't care what the cost is. I don't care if he's available in the 12th round. Odell Beckham's not going to be on my team because I just don't know if the talent's going to come through. I tend to be more of the mind that I think, to an extent, I think there's a situation where the talent is going to shine through. and I'm possibly going to have a wide receiver one playing in my wide receiver two or even three spot, depending on how I built my team. And if that's the case, then he wins your league. It's just, again, it's what can you go to bed at night feeling good about? It's what you beat yourself up over, right? Is it, I can't believe I left Odell Beckham and 20 points a week on my bench? Or is it, nope, I knew it. I knew that he was a head case and, he was going to sink my lineup if I started him. You know, whichever one makes you feel more sick, then do the other one.
So we're talking about Baker Mayfield's struggles, but a guy that didn't struggle last year was Nick Chubb. And I'm curious, with a full-fledged season with Kareem Hunt, with Nick Chubb, what can we expect from the Browns' backfield, not only tonight, but the rest of the way?
Well, I like both the players, and I dislike that they're on the same team. I'd love to see both of them have a primary job to themselves. It's so much closer based on what we saw already and based on what we saw toward the end of last year. It's so much closer to a 50-50 split than I think anybody is comfortable with. They're certainly different kind of talents for sure. I think Chubb is the 1A if I was looking at it in terms of who's the better all around player, because he's got that size and that speed, that power kind of game. You know, and he catches it good. Like, I don't think there's anything in his game that says he's not a receiver. But Hunt has shown more that he's got this. Maybe I hesitate to say league best, but he's up there as far as running backs with balance. Right? He's tough to get on the ground, and he's not a burner, and he's not huge. I don't think he's the specimen that Chubb is, but he has a knack for staying upright. And I think if you're a Chubb owner, you probably had to invest more draft capital to get him than if you had to get Hunt. And so therefore, when you're watching the game and you see Kareem Hunt getting the inside the five carries, certainly that's where I own Chubb a bunch of places. And of course, that was my thought was, wait, that's the wrong number on the field, right? I like both these players a lot. I think they're both really talented. I would love to see each of them have a job to their own. You know, Chubb, when he first came in, remember, he came in after the Browns got rid of Carlos Hyde. They basically said, this guy's ready, we're going to give him a job. And then they brought in Kareem Hunt. So whatever the reasoning for that is, maybe they want to keep, a fresh stable of running backs and they feel really good about having two guys. Whatever it is, the workload has been split enough so that it's tough to feel really great about having either one. Chubb more is the one that you would think about as your RB1. But something you can trust on a week to week basis, you're going to get something, but are you going to get RB1 production? If they're splitting the load, it's hard to say. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I guess that's one of the things that I would want to see tonight is how do they get deployed? Is there something in the matchup with Baltimore that is different than the matchup we'll see tonight, except for a huge talent chasm? I think Baltimore is probably the best overall team in the league right now. And the other thing about that Baltimore game too with the Browns is it was out of hand so fast, right? It's really hard to say, what is an offense going to be when the game's not competitive after a quarter. And so I think this will be a more realistic test that we'll see for the Browns, and maybe we'll get a better sense of how their backfield pieces will be used.
Travis, is there any late acquisitions that you would make, pick up, trade for, try and get on your roster and play before tonight's game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns?
It's guessing again, right? I mean, the thing about both these teams is that where there's skill, if you have them, you're probably starting them already. Landry's playing, Beckham's obviously playing, so the receivers on the Browns, the receivers on the Bengals, if you have AJ Green, you're probably starting him again. I would say if you're throwing darts, like again, another one, Tyler Boyd, you probably are in a situation where you're having to start him. I think a more DFS kind of play, if you're possibly looking to fill in some gaps, I hesitate to say this because I don't know that he is a special talent, but I think probably He's not going to be splitting as many tight end shares this week is, Austin Hooper. We saw David Njoku catch the touchdown last week and then promptly go on IR. So, that pass catching tight end role, that's Hooper's. We think right now, I don't think he did anything super special week one. But if there's volume there for him, we're guessing at that, but could be right. He would be, if I was filling out my lineup and I wanted to go a little cheaper at tight end, so I could build up around better running backs or, better receivers, that might be a place that I would go for a cheap tight end. And similarly on Cincinnati, I think CJ Uzomah is a guy that he's not special. It's you put him in for cheap and you hope you get a touchdown in the DFS format. If you're adding somebody late, as a like deep league end of your bench kind of guy, just in case, certainly you don't mind Gio Bernard. Because we've seen Nixon have, get banged up before. Now, has that been because the line's been collapsing on him? Yeah, maybe. All right. Like he takes more contact probably than your running back should. As an insurance policy, somebody to add, sure. And we saw that he was involved in the hurry up at the end of that game where, the Bengals are really trying to push for that that tying or winning score. Bernard was in there and he caught four balls. So, I don't hate Bernard as an ad. I don't know if you start him yet. I think that's another one where you would want to see it first.
Travis, we're about 4 hours out as we're recording this from the game tonight between the Bengals and the Browns. Any last minute tidbits, any last minute decisions you would make on starting certain players tonight between the Bengals and the Browns?
I would just be aware, Jarvis Landry is playing. That looks like he's going to play. I think he was questionable going into the game. It seems like ESPN Adam Schefter is reporting that he's good to go. He's going to play. If you have him, and he's your second or even third receiver, I think you can go ahead and play him. Nothing about the matchup that you don't necessarily like, where you wouldn't start your starters. And I think that's kind of what this game is. I think, yes, there's a lot of, I'm going to have to watch and see what happens to get a better idea of these tools that I have. But a lot of these tools that you'll have at the skill positions are probably going to be guys that you're going to have to be starting. So, let them play and make sure they're in if you don't have better options, and see how they're used. I think, the thing that you get that's so valuable in these week ones and week twos is just information with no preseason and no real kind of way to judge these teams. Mm-hmm. You want to see it. So, yeah, get some film watching in.
Travis Souders, HarrisFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Travis Souders. You can follow Christopher Harris and all the guys at Harris Football on Twitter. Travis, really appreciate you making some time for us today, man. And I'm ready for Thursday Night Football.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.